Shush. Shush, please.
It's time for the Three Count Podcast. Thank you. And welcome into the show. I'm Dylan Chambers. Joining me, as always, the tribal jester, Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome back.
It's been a hot minute, brother. It's been a hot minute. How you been?
I've been going good, you know, just enjoying life as a dad, trying to fit in this million hours of wrestling we have per week
and
raising a baby at the same time. It's fun. It's a lot, but hey, it's a tough life. Someone's got to do it.
Good on you, mate. It's good. Mate, there's a lot to get into, I guess. Like, we haven't spoken in a few weeks, so there's been quite a bit going on, and then we've got the big SummerSlam preview.
That's right. I'm pumped. We're getting ready to get into it. It's time for the biggest party of the summer or our winter. So today, look, we're going to take you through the SummerSlam card. We're going to look at all the odds, try and find you some winners. Plus, we'll look at all the latest news. And today for our three-count draft, with the bloodline falling apart, we got tribal combat at SummerSlam. We're going to draft the best wrestling families. So stay tuned for that one towards the end of the show. Make sure you follow us on the socials at Three Count Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, at Three Count Pod on Facebook, and hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you listen or watch us. All right, Benny, let's get into the news. And I'm going to start with an Aussie doing well. Grayson Waller, they're pushing him to the moon.
They really are. We've exchanged a few messages and stuff and what's going on with him. And he's it's just good to see that, you know, he's really getting a lot of TV time. He's not really doing a lot. Well, he's doing a lot with it, but he's not getting a lot of positivity from it, let's say. But he's playing that heel character real well. And just, you know, everyone's hating on him. So it's good.
He had John Cena. He got Edge in his debut match.
He got Rock to reply to him.
He got Rock to reply to him. Will he get Rock at SummerSlam?
Well, you don't know. I guess, you know, Rock. If Rock's going to be at SummerSlam, it's not going to be for Grayson Waller. We might talk about that later.
That's all right. So congratulations, Grayson Waller, doing well. Now, what do you make of this Bobby Lashley Street Profits Trick and Mello business?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, there's a lot going on. If we just chuck in Omos and what's his MVP, you know, it's a pretty, pretty deadly crew, you could think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like they're not going to go back to MVP and you know, what's Hurt Business.
Yeah, so.
Part two. I think they'll come up with something else. But they teased that they want Dawkins to dress a bit nicer. Maybe they'll kick him out.
Hey, there you go. There's been some good pictures and stuff, though, of like fan-made pictures and all that kind of stuff of, like, if they were all together.
Yeah.
So it'd be pretty interesting.
It is a pretty deadly-looking group if they do make something happen, which it looks like they're doing. Gable Steveson, what did you make of his debut, Benny, against Baron Corbin?
Geez, the crowd gave it to him, didn't they?
You're not Angle.
Yeah. No matter what, did somebody write, no matter how many ankle locks and German suplexes you do, you'll never be Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a no decision. Well, double count out, I guess you'd call it. Up against Baron Corbin, you know, what do you do with Corbin? He's been in the business long enough now that that's probably why they gave him to him. But he just, I don't know. He doesn't look good to me.
Yeah. He looks pretty green, needs a lot of work. I mean, yeah, he can deliver a suplex, but, you know, if you've got willing participants, it's not that hard to deliver a suplex.
I know, like you and I could do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, I've got a couple of new champions. We've got Chelsea and Sonya. They won the tag titles.
No, there's only one real new champion that we need to talk about, mate.
The Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom. Come on.
Dirty Dom, the NXT North American champion.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go on with what you're saying.
There wasn't really much more to it other than that they won the titles.
Yeah.
But yes, Dirty Dom adding another title to the Judgment Day stable.
Oof. And he's obviously retained it again, obviously, at Great American Bash the other day against Wesley Lee and Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa Ali, yeah.
So, you know, it's good to see Dom's getting a bit of a title run and the crowd are hating on him.
Yeah, I mean, they had to give him a title, I think. You know, he's done so well. Like, his matches are getting better and better too.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that triple threat was really good. So, you know, he's coming on. Let's strap a belt on him and, you know, make the crowd hate him even more. It's perfect. Benny, are you excited for these reports of Bray Wyatt potentially being at SummerSlam?
look, I just don't buy into it anymore. It's been teased too much. And I think if they were going to do it, you wouldn't tease it that much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's better to be a surprise. Although SummerSlam seems to be the place where somebody always comes back. So, you know, we had Roman obviously come back and beat, well, not on Spear Bray at the time or The Fiend at the time. So, you know, it'd be good if he come back and cost Roman the title or something. But I just think the bloodline doesn't need that. That storyline doesn't need that and all that kind of stuff. If he does come back, does he come back in the Battle Royal and then reignite the whole LA Knight thing? You know, but that was dead a long time ago as well. I just don't see where he comes back in this one.
The reports are that it's going to be in one of the two title matches. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to happen. But
the also talking of reports of somebody coming back is my other boy, RKO, Randy Orton. So we've heard him coming back for a while as well from when they're in the UK. Is he ready to go? Don't know. Do they come
back? It'd be so good to see him back.
Imagine Bray and Randy as a tag team again.
I think we've been there. I think we've been there, done that, Benny.
Is it not WWE's thing? They just go back to the well?
Go back to the well. Lastly, on WWE, it looks like we've got Cora Jade leaving NXT. She was beaten by Dana Brooke, and she basically just tweeted out bye. So she's either leaving NXT for the main roster, which makes sense. I think the main roster could do with her. You know, another heel woman in there. But yeah, we'll see.
Do we need more heel women though? There's a lack of baby faces at the moment.
You're probably right. But I think the problem with the baby faces is they're running through heels. They need they need more ammo. And they're giving up on Lacey Evans apparently, which is great news.
Well, because, you know, Sergeant Slaughter and his daughter have been hammering them on socials. So
yeah,
it hasn't looked good for her.
No, poor old Lacey Evans just can never find something that sticks. Right, let's have a look at what's going on in AEW. We have the Real World Championship being unveiled. CM Punk has brought out his title.
You mean the X Division title?
Yeah, that he beat John Moxley for. He's painted a big X on the front because, you know, spray paint and titles go well together. So why not? And
back to the well
and he's calling himself the Real World Champion, and he's got a Real World Championship match against Ricky Starks.
I love that MJF hasn't commented or said anything on this. It's just sort of like, obviously he's got this whole thing going on with Adam Cole that's been brilliant and amazing, which I'm sure you'll talk about in a sec, but it's just, they're just playing this perfectly that MJF's just not doing anything about it just yet. And then they're going to obviously.
I mean, it did feel like when he made the unveiling that it didn't make sense where Starks would come out and us knowing that MJF was in the building.
Yeah.
Why he wouldn't come out. But he's like just ignoring it, which is kind of a cool. Kind of a cool MJF thing to do. And you're right. Let's talk about it. The hottest tag team in wrestling right now. MJF and Adam Cole, baby.
It has been much CTV, hasn't it? Like, just everything, so everything they've done. Like, even I know the dance off was stupid and all that kind of stuff, but it's just been so fun, and just the way they're working together, and even the stuff that you can watch not on TV that they've been putting out as well. It's been some funny stuff.
There's like the vignettes of them at the bar, of them playing video games, the fun stuff online of, you know, MJF calling up Adam Cole like while he's doing a Twitch stream and talking about all these nerds that he's talking to.
So good.
It's been so brilliant done. And the thing is, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And well.
And they're teasing and they're teasing and they're teasing and they're not going to do it because, they're probably making a lot of money on T-shirts, to be honest.
I was just going to say, I think that's better that they just, I think AEW's always been one of those companies that they shorten everything too much. You know, they want that payoff. They want that quick payoff. They're sort of playing this one a bit longer. And the more they tease us, the better it is. Like, it's just because we want it now.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, you don't want it. You're like, oh, we don't want them to break them up or whatever else. But now we want it, so they're not going to give it to us. And I think I like that.
They'll swerve us and they'll have Adam Cole just turn on MJF at some point.
That would be great. That would be also good. Imagine Cole just turning heel and MJF just being so upset about it, he couldn't believe that he's done this to his friendship.
He finally had a friend.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, if you haven't seen any of the MJF and Adam Cole stuff, go and check it out. It is well worth your time. Rumors of a match locked in for All In.
Mm-hmm.
Ospreay and Chris Jericho.
Interesting.
I'm not sure I'm a big fan.
It just doesn't sound like it's something that needs to be done. Like, Ospreay's too quick, too much for Jericho.
Jericho just can't really go as much anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, their styles will clash. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I get it, it's two big names, but...
But yeah. Would you not just do Ospreay Omega 3?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's the biggest match, like, it was, you know, the two of the biggest matches we've had recently and whatever else, and that would be a brilliant match to have again.
Absolutely. But
again, do they want to go back to that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't...
Doesn't work for me.
Unless Kenny's taking on Punk, then... Yeah, go back to Ospreay.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for AEW. And lastly, we have a new Knockouts champion, Trinity Fatu. Didn't take much time for her to get the strap in at Impact. She beat Deonna Purrazzo.
She is the biggest name, I guess. So
yeah.
It's the same as when, you know, Mercedes went over and that kind of stuff. They sort of have to get that, put the title on them and, you know, reap what they sow, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you've only got them for a limited time. Might as well use them as much as you can. All right, that is it for what's in the news, unless you have anything else for me, Benny.
No, mate, I think we've covered it. Like, yeah.
It's good. Well, it's time to get into your favorite part of the podcast then. It's quiz time on the history of SummerSlam. I know you absolutely love this.
I'm definitely underprepared for this one. I'm not going to lie, so... Just throwing it out there. Please don't make fun of me, folks. But hey, look, we'll see how we go.
Okay. I mean, play along at home. I think there's a few of these that are not that easy that you might not know off the top of your head, but we'll get into it. SummerSlam debuted at 1988 at Madison Square Garden. What was the first main event?
Oh, you know, that's something I should have just looked up. The first main event of SummerSlam.
It was not a title match, and it was a tag team match.
88.
The special guest referee was Jesse the Body Ventura.
You got to think it's got to be Macho Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Macho Man and Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Mega Powers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Talk it out.
I'm thinking versus who are we thinking here? Too late for Roddy Piper, I'm thinking.
Was the Mega Bucks.
Oh, was it?
Yes, the Mega Bucks.
Okay.
Ted DiBiase. All right. So Roman and Jay, they're going to go head-to-head in this year's main event. When did Roman Reigns first appear on a SummerSlam card, and who did he face? Now, I say card because he did appear at a SummerSlam beforehand to help Dean Ambrose retain a U.S. title against Rob Van Dam, but he was not on the card.
Okay. So we're looking at 2014.
Betty, nice work.
Yeah. Am I right?
You are right.
Oh, okay. And what was the second part of the question? So I got
caught up. Who did he face?
Oh.
It was a one-on-one match.
Probably. Was it one of the Shield? Was it Ambrose?
It was not.
No,
this man, his voice is in his head.
Ah,
Randy Orton, 2014, Roman Reigns. Yes, on SummerSlam 2013, he did help Dean Ambrose retain the US title. Who did Jey Uso face in his first ever singles match in WWE in 2010?
Oh my goodness!
This is more of a guessing. This one, it was on an episode of Raw.
Cesaro.
Was the same man as above, Randy Orton.
Oh, come on. You tricked. This is tricked. This is rigged.
Okay, so we got Roman and Jay this year. At what event did Jay first challenge Roman for the title?
Oh. That was after he won that fatal four-way, wasn't it?
It was.
He stepped in for Big E. Clash of Champions or something?
Benny. You knocked it on the head. Clash of Champions 2020. Can you tell me how that match ended?
Yeah, Roman won.
How did he win?
2020.
It was a bit of a funny one, this one, because
there was no crowd, was it? That's COVID time. Was it COVID?
I think there
time?
Was a crowd. I think there was a crowd.
Okay.
Jimmy threw in the towel.
Okay. Oh, that was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So that's how it ended. SummerSlam this year is going to be at Ford Field, the home of the Detroit Lions. What was the last WWE pay-per-view held in Detroit?
Oh, geez, it would have been a while back. Let's go with Roadblock. No, I don't know.
What year? What year?
2018.
Hell in a Cell 2017 was the last time it was in Detroit. Okay, here's a tough one. How many times has a member of the Anoa'i family main evented SummerSlam? Anoa'i.
You got to think Rock and Roman. Seven.
It's eight. You're very close. Yoko. Is also part of that family. He's headline one. So Yoko's headline one. Rock has headline three. And Reigns has headlined four of them. So, that's hey, it, Benny. You did pretty well.
I forgot about Yoko. Good old Rodney Anawi, however you say it.
You did very well there, Benny. Full ticks there. All right, let's get into the card. Now, there's one rumored match which hasn't been confirmed yet. We're not sure if it's going to happen. The Women's World Championship match between Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez. What do you think of this one if it happens, Benny?
Yeah, look, when I looked at the match card, I was like, is it happening or not? And then obviously she got taken out and all that kind of stuff. So I think if it happens, Rhea's going to win. Even if Liv comes out and gets involved or whatever else, it's, you know, Rhea wins that one.
Absolutely.
But I think the build up for it would have been wasted anyway. There wasn't enough. If you want these two massive women to go one on one, these two powerhouses, you need a bit of a build up for it and all that kind of stuff. And I think maybe there might have been a niggling injury or something, so they've taken her out so that they can build up for it for something else. Yeah.
My thoughts are if it happens, obviously Ripley's gonna win, but she's not gonna do it easily like she did the last couple. She may have to cheat. And this is gonna be the building of the feud from here.
Yeah, okay.
If it happens. We know that Becky and Trish will not happen on SummerSlam now either, so taking that one out. All right.
In 2 weeks now they've said that?
In 2 weeks, yeah, in Canada, I believe.
That's a bit weird, that one. I was a bit...
Do you think
Becky's still going to come out and do something on the card?
I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty stacked card, so yeah. There just might not be a place for her. She might have just... fallen by the wayside with this one, but it does seem very surprising. Maybe they made a gut call that, like, okay, we got to shave a match off. Which one?
Well, Becky was going to win that anyway. So
yeah. All right, let's get into it. SummerSlam card, the SummerSlam Battle Royal. Odds are I've got LA Knight the favorite at $1.72. Sheamus second favorite $4.33. Then you've got Lashley and Bronson Reed at $6. Then Grayson Waller and Ford at $8.50. Carmelo Hayes at $10. A few kind of outsiders. We've got Edge and Braun Strowman at $17. Cameron Grimes, Johnny Gargano, and The Miz at $34. And then your biggest outsiders, Rick Boogs and Dexter Lumis at $51.
How many people are going to be in this battle royal? 20?
Who knows?
No, it's just one of those things again. WWE getting everybody on the card,
yeah.
Which we love, but I think if LA Knight doesn't win this, the crowd's going to riot. And I feel like they might be rioting because I feel like WWE is just going to hold him back again and just to annoy them. That's the way I see it. But to give you a winner, you'd have to think that Sheamus and LA Knight should be the last two in because the match was sort of put around them essentially. So to give you a winner, it's too hard. So I'm just going to stick with LA Knight, but I'm not confident.
Here's what I'm thinking.
I can see that mind ticking over. I love it.
LA Knight is the second last person in, and he's eliminated by Grayson Waller. What way to get heat? Get monster heat.
That is.
Like, I feel like this is going to be a thing. Like, they're just going to keep taking away from LA Knight.
Yeah.
and Waller taking away from Knight as someone who could just absolutely, I mean, they could go toe to toe on the mic. That could be fun.
That'll be fun on the mic.
So, you know, let's build a feud out of that.
So we're giving it to Grayson Waller, are we?
I am. I mean, you know, LA Knight is the next Rock, right? So, you know, if Grayson Waller can't get the Rock, why not LA Knight? So that's a bit of an upset pick there, but that's one I could see happening.
I could see Grayson as well tweeting out, you know, oh, well, I threw out the next Rock or something like that. Yeah. Like he'll,
Well, I'm the real megastar.
Hey.
There you go.
Have you got an inside line, haven't you?
Heard it here first. We move on. The MMA rules match. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Baszler, $1.33. Rousey, $3.
Go for it.
Look, Baszler's safe money here. Ronda's on her way out. She's no doubt going to be putting over her real-life friend. One little note I had was, I don't know if you saw the vignettes they ran on Raw today, but they were really good.
I didn't see it, no.
They're basically, you know, these two in segments hasn't been great.
No.
And the time they put into these vignettes on, like, you know, their past and their way up through the MMA ranks and what they thought of each other and, you know, how Shayna was, you know, staying at Ronda's house for free, but only so she could be, you know, a bit of a punching bag for her. And it was really good. Definitely check them out. But it made me care about this match.
Okay. Well, let's be honest, right? If it's an MMA rules match, Rousey wins, right? But it's it's WWE. Well, Ronda's a lot better at MMA than Shayna Baszler. But, you know, it's WWE, and I do have Baszler down here to win. But it's, as you said, she's on her way out, so they're not going to let Ronda win, surely.
Rumors that she's going back to UFC.
I did see that, and I just think she'd get murdered back there at the moment. Yeah,
absolutely.
The women back there at the moment are just crazy. But
yeah.
We're here to talk WWE today. So
we are. All right.
I'm going with you. I'm going with Baszler.
Shayna Baszler, safe bet there. Next up, we have Logan Paul and Ricochet, my favorite Irish wrestler, Rick O'Shea. I've got Logan Paul. Logan Paul at $1.23, Ricochet at $3.70.
Logan's got to win this one. He's lost everything that he's been in since he's come in. He's now got somebody.
He beat The Miz.
Well, but you know what I mean. Like, he's got somebody who's not a main eventer now, because he's had those main events, which has been great for him. So Logan's got to take the W here, but this one should be fun. There's going to be some high-flying stuff. We know that. There's going to be these athletic moves that we always talk about from Logan or Ricochet. This time we've got them against each other. So I just hope that they don't go for too much and not pull it off.
Yeah.
Like they did with that Spanish Fly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So let's just be methodical in what you do and nail those big moves. And just make it a fun spectacle for everyone, but Logan for the win.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. He's taking the L in his last two high-profile matches, and it's time for a win here. I don't think the loss hurts Ricochet that much.
No, not at all.
The Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther and Drew McIntyre. Gunther, $1.40. McIntyre, $2.70. Gunther all the way in this one. I think they're going to have him break the record, which if he beats McIntyre, he basically does break the record. But I think they'll have McIntyre take it off him eventually.
All right. Hear me out. Take the big money here. I'm going for Drew.
Ooh-hoo.
Drew wins, but he doesn't win the title.
Are we talking DQ?
We're talking DQ, count out, something like that. And Drew wins the match, but Gunther retains. So therefore, he still can break the record with the IC title. And then that sets them up for another match coming up where Drew can then take it off him.
I don't mind it. I mean, obviously, you've got Imperium who are going to be by Gunter's side. And
don't forget, you've got the whole Riddle factor as well.
So, that's true.
You know, Riddle could get involved, and then you've got the other guys, Imperium, get involved, and then, you know, Drew just hits somebody with a chair in by mistake or hits the ref with a chair or something silly like that. DQ. Oh, well, no, yeah, Gunther, sorry. And then Drew wins via DQ, but Gunther retains.
Yeah, okay. I like it. There you go. 270, Drew McIntyre. Get on it. The WWE Women's Championship match, triple threat, Asuka, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair. Oscar the favorite here at $1.44, and Belair and Flair both at $4.50. Now, an Io Sky cash in during the match, bell to bell, is $5.50.
Okay. Interesting, because it's all the talk, isn't it? Io Sky is going to cash in. So, I don't know. I just think Asuka wins this, and I don't think the cash-in works if there is a cash-in. Asuka will still come out with the title at the end of this, and I think the whole Charlotte Bianca thing is just building for, like, maybe Mania 40 or something like that, where one of them will have the title. You know, it's easy to give Charlotte the title and keep padding her stats, isn't it? We can keep doing that. We all know that, but that can happen at any second.
Yeah.
So for me, I think Bianca and Charlotte take each other out of the equation. If EO does cash in, I think it's unsuccessful. And I'm saying Asuka walks away from SummerSlam, still the champ.
Okay. Well, I do have Asuka getting the win, but I have an EO cash in after the match and taking it out. So I think EO leaves with the title. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen. All right. We have the World Heavyweight Championship match. Seth Rollins, Finn Balor. Rollins, $1.83. Balor, $2. A Priest cash in during the match, $6.50. I got Balor in this one. I feel like this card needs an upset.
Wow. Well,
he's at $2. It's not a major upset, but I think Balor with the belt, continuing the feud with Rollins, while also teasing this Priest cash in, I'm feeling it. So Balor for me.
Oh, I hate it. I just hate it. It's probably going to happen, but I hate it. obviously, that it's just this too much teasing of the cash in. But why do we need them both to be teased at the cash in? I know it's a premium live event, so that's when they're going to do it and all that kind of stuff. But two matches in a row now we've talked about, and that's what we're talking about rather than the actual matches. And they're four titles, so it's a bit annoying. I think I'm going to still go with Seth. I'm sticking with Seth.
What if they take each other out and Balor just like flops an arm over and wins, and he's still down, and Priest thinks...
Does a little, puts a finger on him.
Yeah.
Or does the
think that'll happen.
Does the Jericho like? No, look, I don't. I think I'm still sticking with Seth. I can't help it. I've got to stick with Seth. I can't get behind Balor and this Priest Judgment Day cashing stuff. So it's annoying me. So if they do it, I hope it gets it out of the way and it's done. And then we're good to go.
Sick of those briefcases. we have Cody Rhodes then taking on Brock Lesnar. Rhodes $1.27. Lesnar $3.40.
Oh, that's big money for Lesnar. You know, Lesnar could turn around and just go, I'm not going to let him beat me, even if the script says it. So bad luck. You know, he's that kind of guy. The heart says Cody for me. The brain says Brock. So, look, what have I written here? The brain says Brock. I don't know. I haven't actually picked anybody. There you go. I think the emotion behind it all and whatever else. And I think the winner of this, if Cody wins, he goes on to vest Roman. You would think if Roman wins, finish the story, yeah?
Yeah.
If Brock wins, I think Brock has to then go on and fight Seth for the title, because Brock can't fight Roman for the title. So, all right. Gotta go Cody.
Okay. I'm last taking second. Cody as well. I think we're done with Cody and Lesnar, and I think Rhodes needs the win and Lesnar doesn't.
Yeah, this is definitely the end of the feud, but I don't know.
It's funny, you know, saying that Cody needs the win after he's done pretty much nothing but win since he's come over, except for, you know, one match really.
Yeah.
And the broken arm match. But yeah, there we go. Rhodes for me there. All right, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Tribal Combat. we have Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. Reigns at $1.14, Uso at $5.
Yeah, Reigns isn't getting pinned again. We know that. It's been amazing. It's dawning to the, like, bringing it to the end. Ever since the dawn of Main Event Jey that we talked about before, it's going to be fun. It's going to be emotion filled and everything else. And do we get a return? Does The Rock come out Do we get Rikishi? Do we get, you know, there's plenty of people that could come out from the family. Will they be at ringside? You know, we could have more of the family at ringside. That'll make it more emotional and stuff. But Reigns is going to walk away with the title here.
Yeah, I agree. Roman Reigns. I'm in this camp that Cody's going to take the belt from him at Mania, so I don't think he's going to lose it until then. Yeah. It would be a super cool full circle moment to see Jay winning. But I don't know what that means for the Usos with the loss, you know, and Roman becoming tribal chief. Maybe we just go back to the circle and the Usos rejoin the bloodline again. But no doubt there's going to be shenanigans from, you know, Jimmy will be back, no doubt. Solo too. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I don't see.
Yeah,
I can see maybe Roman Reigns winning this one, but doing it in a way that like disrespects tribal combat or something.
Well, they've already sort of gone against that a little bit anyway, haven't they? Yeah. So here's one for you. I just thought of this just now. Imagine if Paul Heyman turns on Roman.
Wow.
Goes with Jay. Imagine that. Because, you know,
I definitely would not see that coming.
Paul's got a history, baby. So, I mean,
he does.
Just imagine that. Like Paul and Solo just turn on him.
Well, because Paul's history is with the family. So if Roman turns his back on the family, maybe, you know, Paul thinks differently.
Oh,
hey, sowing the seeds. Sowing the seeds. But no, I don't think it's going to happen.
No, me neither.
All right. There you have it. That is the SummerSlam card. Benny, it is time to get into our three count draft, best wrestling families. Now, when we first mentioned this, we were like, is there going to be enough? And oh, there's enough.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. It's it added up pretty quickly. I think there's a clear sort of, there's a clear top four for me. And then there's plenty more.
I've got a clear top six.
Okay. Okay. I've literally only got 10 written down, but then I do remember a few others that I looked up, but when we said it, five came to my head like straight away. So
yeah. Well, take it away, Benny. You have the first pick.
We all know where we're going, don't we? It's the heart, baby. It's the heart.
Yes. The heart. Well, I'm actually very glad that you took that.
You got to go the heart.
Stu, family. Brett, Owen, Davey Boy Smith, Anvil, Natalya, Harry, Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's not
forget about everybody who went to the dungeon. And the Hart family sort of also gave rise to a lot of these Canadian wrestlers that have come out and stuff like that, who all idolized them. And
yeah,
they're just the greatest. I guess, yeah, I know who you're going to take with this, your pick, but the Hart family all the way, baby.
I thought the Harts might be like the clear cut number one. But then when I went into the Anoa E family.
Oh, yeah, no.
Man. Reigns, the Usos, The Rock, Yokozuna, the Wild Samoans, Nia Jax, Trinity, Rosie, Rikishi, Umaga. Am I the only one who didn't know that Jamal and Umaga were the same person?
Yeah, as in Jamal and Rosie, and then is that who was he?
Jamal and Rosie were the 3-minute warning.
Yeah.
And Jamal and Umaga are the same person.
No.
This is what Wikipedia tells me. I didn't think that was right, but that's in cool. any case. Then you've got Solo, you got Rocky Johnson, you've got Ava Rain now in NXT. So High Chief Peter Maivia. Look, the Anoa E Maivia family, number one for me.
Yeah, and that's a fair pick. I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Well, this is there's two more picks here that you can sort of take for me. You want to I think this family that I'm going to take, they're not really wrestlers, but I'm going to go with the McMahons.
You've got to go with the
McMahons.
They're the
right?
clear cut next pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Obviously you've got Vince, you've got Vince Senior, Stephanie and Shane. And then obviously now you've got Triple H as well. So he's married into the family. So
don't forget Linda.
Oh, well, Linda. Yeah. Hey, part of Trump's cabinet. So I mean, yeah. Not only do they control wrestling, but they control the political world sometimes as well. And they're just the history, you know, they molded what wrestling is today. Well, Vince Jr. did anyway, especially. So, yeah, McMahon family for me.
Absolutely. All right. You're right. They were kind of a top three. Now's where it gets a little bit tougher. I've got three to choose from now.
You're going to ride the current hype train, aren't you?
I'm not actually.
No?
There is more than one royal family, but I'm not taking that one. I'm taking the Flairs. Okay. Two legit, you know, stick them on Mount Rushmore with Rick and Charlotte. Obviously got David as well, and then Reed, you know, as well. But yeah, Rick and Charlotte of the Flair family are two goats in the same family. So that's where I'm going there.
All right. I don't mind that. I don't mind. I didn't see that one coming, to be honest. This is a tough one then, because who I was going to take, now I'm afraid if I don't take them, then you might. And I'm going to go with a tragic family, actually. I'm going to go with a tragic family. I'm going to go with the Von Erichs.
Well, their movie is coming out shortly.
Yeah, very shortly, yeah. But just if you don't know the story out there, I'm sure the people who listen to us should know the story of the Von Erichs, and they will once the movie comes out. But just tragic stories of, like, all of them that have passed away. And the way they were brought up, though, was just really tough and rough. And
yeah.
But, yeah, I think there were some really talented boys in that family.
So. Absolutely. You know, they ran a promotion and they all wrestled in the promotion. And yeah, just every one of them, you know, had just had tragedy befall them. So I guess we'll see. Was it Zac Efron and MJF are both in the Von Erich movie coming out soon. So it's Iron Claw or something like
Iron Claw, yeah.
All right, the Von Erichs. Well, that still leaves me with my two that I was going to choose here. All right, well, you didn't take him, so I will take the Rhodes family. Cody, Dustin, and Dusty.
Yeah. Wrestling has more than one girl family. Great pick. Dusty.
It was a choice out of two there. I'll be interested to see if you take this one that I was mulling over with your next pick.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the Guerreros.
You got it. There you go.
Eddie, Chavo, and Dom. No.
And Dom.
Nah, but, like, obviously for Mexican wrestling, what they've done and everything else. But Eddie, you know, out and out star. We all know that. Chavo, who I have met, he's a very short.
Ooh, Chavo.
He's very short. I thought he would be bigger than what he was.
But he's doing big things in you know, in the TV world at the moment.
Yeah, well, he had that. He was main producer of Glow or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
On stage? Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Guerreros.
Okay, you've got Gory and Hector and Chavo Senior and Mondo, and yeah, there's plenty of Guerreros out there, and Dirty Dom, like you
said. Dirty Dom.
Oh, just on a little side note, he was answering some questions for I think it was WWE.com the other day, and they asked if he'd ever, you know, fix his relationship with his father, and he said that he couldn't because Eddie had passed away.
That's brilliant. I love it.
Good stuff there from Dirty Dom. All right. Here is where it gets very tough. There are still a lot of families out there, but choosing I'm going to go with the Cologne family here.
Yeah, great pick.
You know, what they've done out of Puerto Rico, you know, Carlos Colon basically running that territory. So many wrestlers from back in the day used to do the trips to Puerto Rico.
So many.
It was a huge, you know, moneymaker for a lot of these wrestlers. You know, they do the Hawaii one, they do Puerto Rico, and the Colon family kind of ran that. And then you've got Carlito, Primo, and Epico.
Yeah.
So yeah, Colognes for me.
Great pick. There's a few here now, but
last pick, Benny, make it count.
This is my last pick. Jeez, I've stuffed that up. I thought I had two more. Now I'm tossing up between two then. And they're two of my boys, and we've mentioned them both in this.
Well, they're the next two on my list, both of them.
I just don't know which one to go for. I think I've got to go with the Ortons.
Yeah.
I've got to go with the Ortons. Three generations there of the Ortons.
Randy, Cowboy Bob, Bob Sr.
Yeah.
The Orton family. Now, I'm still tossing up whether to take your other boy, and his family now, because is there any better out there?
You might as well throw a random one out. When I've got the last pick, I always throw a random stupid one out there, and the fans love it.
You know what? Okay, I'm going
to... I know who it is. I sent it to you today. It's the Hollies, isn't it? Hardcore Crash and Molly.
Yeah, that's right. The tight family unit of the Holly family.
Great pick, mate. Great pick.
All right. I am going to take... Oh, this is so tough. I'm going to take the Jarretts. Not who I was originally going to pick.
Interesting.
Jerry Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett. Just for what they've done in wrestling. You know, yeah. They ran Memphis. And,
ran Memphis.
Hey, Jeff Jarrett, listen up, slap nuts. He was he's multiple-time world champion. So there you go. The Jarretts I'm taking.
Good pick.
All right, honorable mentions, Benny. Let's get your first one out of the way.
Well, you got Irwin R. Scheichner, Bray Wyatt, the Rotundas.
Bo Dallas, yes, Blackjack Mulligan, Barry Windham.
I was going to say you could add in the Windham and that as well. Like, yeah, I think that's a great family. The Steiner brothers, but they're only brothers, so it's kind of...
There's a lot of good
then
brothers.
Then you've got, like, Hardys, like the Booker T and Stevie Ray.
Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, yeah. The Briscoes.
Well, the Briscoes is probably a good... Yeah. Well, yeah. There's quite a few.
Yeah. I had the Funk family.
Funks, yes.
Dory Jr., Jory Sr., and Terry. The Mysterios.
Yeah.
It's two generations there. The Guns.
Bellas. The Bellas.
The Bellas, there you go. The Guns, Billy Colton and Austin. You have Taz and Hook. But one that I almost kind of took, which I didn't know was a family unit, is the Lawler family. So... You got King, you got Brian Christopher.
Mm.
I did not know Honky Tonk Man was Jerry the King Lawler's first cousin.
There you go. Didn't know that either.
So there you go. The Lawler family almost made my list.
Not a bad one.
Yeah. All right. There you go. So Benny has taken the Hart family, the McMahon family, the Von Erichs, the Guerreros, the Ortons. I have taken the Anoa E's, the Flares, the Rhodes, the Colognes, and the Jarretts. That was a fun one.
It was good.
Yeah. And that is it for the show. We're going to be back next week to discuss all the happenings from Detroit at SummerSlam. Benny, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Dill. Pleasure as always.
Enjoy the biggest party of the summer, and we'll see you again next time on the 3 Count Podcast.